From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, December 3rd. I'm Jonathan All. Magic the Gathering is a card game about spells and wizards. The game is creating community in one Illinois prison.
It's an awesome game. I recently got into it. I am not ashamed of my nerddom.
More about why the game was banned and is now back at a downstate correctional center. That's coming up on The Gateway. An analyst at BetMissouri.com found the state had a strong first day of legal sports betting. In the first 24 hours of online sports betting on Monday, geolocation service GeoCompli registered 2.6 million uses of betting platforms in Missouri. Each of those uses wasn't necessarily a bet placed, but it shows a high level of interest and activity in mobile sports wagering. Nearly 188,000 accounts were created before the launch, starting November 17th, the first day of legal accounts setup. The analyst found these early numbers suggest Missouri is poised to become a top-tier sports betting market in the Midwest. Missouri's new age verification requirement for pornography websites is now in effect. But as St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports, some groups question whether Attorney General Catherine Hanaway's office has the authority to enforce it.
Hanaway's office helped create an administrative rule that requires somebody to prove they're 18 years of age or older to access some pornography websites. That prompted Pornhub to cease operations in Missouri. Some groups have questioned whether Hanaway can use the state's consumer protection laws to go after sites that don't comply. St. Louis University law professor Anders Walker says a recent Supreme Court decision upholding a Texas age verification law will hurt any legal challenge.
That is not a substantial infringement either on the First Amendment or on the right to privacy.
Hanaway's office noted that age verification requirements have been in place for brick-and-mortar pornography stores for years. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
A former member of the Florissant Police Department has admitted that he stole intimate photos from the phones of women he had pulled over. Julian Acala pleaded guilty yesterday to 20 felony counts. He'll be sentenced in March. Acala admitted that over 3 months last year, he stopped 20 women for minor traffic violations. The women gave him their phones for proof of insurance or vehicle registration, but he instead took the phones back to his car and made copies of intimate photos or videos he found. Acala resigned from the police department after the FBI began its investigation. A 50-year Missouri Lake Monitoring Program is coming to an end after losing federal funding. St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke reports on the program run by the University of Missouri.
The statewide lake assessment program has been monitoring water quality in Missouri lakes since the 70s, looking for things like farm runoff and algae overgrowth. Now Missouri's Department of Natural Resources no longer qualifies for a waiver to use Environmental Protection Agency funds for it. Associate Professor Rebecca North runs the program and says data like this are invaluable for research.
Whenever you ask questions of, you know, was there more? Has there been a change? You need long-term data to be able to answer those questions.
Funding for the statewide lake assessment program will run out next year. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Francis Howell School District has named Mark Delaney as its permanent superintendent. Delaney stepped into the top role in July after the district's former leader, Mike Dominguez, left just weeks before the start of the school year. The board voted unanimously during a special school board meeting on Monday to approve Delaney's contract. He's a career educator, having worked as both an elementary and middle school teacher. Delaney was also principal of Bryan Middle School before stepping into district leadership. He's set to lead the district until his contract expires in June of 2028. The St. Louis Fire Department says one person who was at the scene of a massive fire south of the Arch last week is unaccounted for. The department said in a Facebook post yesterday that the possible missing person was last seen around the warehouse complex. The department says investigators learned about them after talking with people who know the property. More than 200 firefighters responded to the former Crunden Martin site early in the morning of November 28th. The department says some crews remain on scene putting out hot spots. The cause of the fire is still under investigation. The recently passed congressional spending bill places a cap on federal loans available to pay for some graduate programs, including graduate nursing degrees. Supporters say the limits place guardrails on unsustainable borrowing. But as St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton reports, nursing groups are worried it could contribute to nurse staffing shortages.
The new rule caps loans for grad students in so-called non-professional fields to $20,500 per year, or $100,000 total. That applies to those getting doctoral and master's degrees in nursing, such as future nurse practitioners. Jill Cleathermas is executive director with the Missouri Nurses Association. She says it's already hard to find high-level graduates to teach at nursing schools.
We're not filling our spots for nursing students because we don't have the faculty. And again, faculty needs a graduate degree typically. And this is another area that it's just a trickle-down effect.
The costs of graduate programs vary. The Goldfarb School of Nursing's master's costs around $56,000, but that does include living expenses. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Illinois Department of Public Health will soon be able to set its own vaccine guidelines independent of the CDC. Governor J.B. Pritzker signed a measure that he says is necessary given what he calls the misinformation surrounding vaccines coming from the federal government.
The Trump administration has upended the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, the federal body that has long provided states with rigorous, evidence-driven vaccine schedules. So Illinois is stepping up to fill the void.
The measure also requires state-regulated insurance plans to cover vaccinations regardless of federal guidance. And it allows pharmacies to administer flu and COVID-19 vaccines to children as young as 3 without a prescription. It takes effect in January. Magic the Gathering is a niche card game where players battle each other with spells, wizards, and fantasy creatures. The game was banned at a prison in Illinois for years over concerns the valuable cards could pose a safety risk. But Magic is now back at the prison, and among those incarcerated there, the game has developed a loyal following. Emily Hayes reports.
So this is a commander deck, right? A commander deck is a 100 card
Antonio
deck.
Jones keeps a deck of Magic the Gathering cards in the pocket of his prison uniform. He fans the deck out to show cards with drawings of elven queens, artifacts, and fantastical creatures. As he explains how the cards work, the corrections officer in the room begins to chuckle.
And this, yes, I am. I'm doing this, sir. I'm doing it. It's an awesome game. I recently got into it. I am not ashamed of my nerddom or the fact that I love this game.
Jones is one of a dozen incarcerated men sitting in a classroom in Danville Correctional Center. They are serving out long sentences for charges like sexual assault, murder, or being an accomplice to murder. They have all worked hard to become better versions of themselves, leading peer mentoring classes and working towards bachelor's and master's degrees as much as possible. And all but two play Magic the Gathering. Robert Schultz is another mentor. He teaches about conflict resolution as others in the prison get close to re-entering society. He says Magic is new to him.
There's not that many people who play it, right? Obviously, like, prison culture comes from urban areas, stuff like that, and you don't really find that many people who are playing Magic cards.
Schultz says the game is complex, and they are all really into the rules. They have a lot of time to learn them.
The rules, it depends on who you're playing with, right? It depends. They're very particular. It's like if you ever seen a pickup basketball game in grade school, and everybody thinks they're going to the NBA, so they're calling every single travel, every single like double dribble.
But the game has only recently been allowed at the prison. In 2001, Danville Correctional Center banned family and friends from sending Magic the Gathering cards. The Illinois Department of Corrections says the prison identified them as a security risk because of their value for trading. But in 2021, the prison began hosting Magic the Gathering tournaments using old cards that had been grandfathered in. Those in custody began to ask about buying new cards. Last year, the prison decided that staff could approve card purchases directly from a retailer. Department of Corrections spokesperson Naomi Pizzello said by email that the cards haven't caused any negative incidents. She says those in prison aren't allowed to have protective sleeves for the cards, so they get worn down and aren't as valuable as trading items. She says the game has become a constructive mental outlet for those in custody at Danville. She says it also helps reduce stress and supports emotional regulation. Psychiatrist Terry A. Coopers agrees. He's a professor at the Wright Institute in Berkeley, California. He says prisons take things away from the incarcerated too often.
Having possessions is a very important part of feeling like a human being. We're proud of the clothes we wear. We read books. We communicate with loved ones outside of correctional facilities.
The closer to normal life prisons can keep conditions, the more ready the incarcerated are to go straight afterwards. He says prisons should try to provide access to everyday items as much as possible.
It's the having access, having some freedom.
Cooper says it sounds like the men in Danville have found a creative recreational outlet that they want to do, and that's really healthy. At Danville Correctional Center, Magic the Gathering is also honing mentorship skills. Robert Schultz teaches about conflict resolution in the peer education classes and also while playing the game.
So there was a young kid, and he showed up, and he was watching, you know what I mean, like kind of hovering around the table as we're all playing. And he's just watching and watching, and we're like, hey, do you want to play?
Then as the game heated up, Schultz says that player started to become rude.
And we had a conversation with him. I was like, hey, look, like if you're going to be hanging out with us, this is the kind of behavior that we expect.
Schultz saw the younger player learn from the conversation and start thinking about how to set boundaries in other interactions. One day, the player complained that his peers were making fun of him for playing Magic.
I explained to him, I'm like, hey, you're sitting down here with someone, two people who are bachelor's degrees. I'm a master's degree student, right? All peer educators, all life coaches, like, what are they doing with their lives, right? Of course they're going to make fun of you.
Schultz said even having that conversation showed that the younger player felt comfortable being vulnerable with him, and that was its own win.
And if he could do it with us, imagine what he's going to do when he gets home with his family and people he, like, trusts on a more deeper level.
For Antonio Jones, Magic is a source of joy in a tough environment. He is always aware that he cannot have a bad day in prison as a mentor and as he works to show how he has grown since his conviction.
I can be overwhelmed and I can have moments of humanity where I may do something regrettable. And so I try to maintain a level of awareness to myself to be able to manage the stressors that I face on a daily basis.
So he manages the stress with music, journaling, and Magic the Gathering.
That was Emily Hayes reporting. That story came to us by way of NPR member station Illinois Public Media in Champaign-Urbana. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. We are a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. I'm Jonathan All, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.